Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again for part two, is Douglas Hodgson. Douglas is a former lawyer, dean and professor of law residing in Perth, Western Australia. He undertook postgraduate legal study at the University of London before embarking on a 35-year career in higher education in Canada, Australia and New Zealand as a teacher, researcher, author, human rights advocate and university administrator. Professor Hodgson has authored and published 30 peer-reviewed law journal articles and 5 books. His latest publications include Transcendental Spirituality, Wisdom and Virtue and Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, What Humanity Can Learn from the Near-Death Experience, which conveys life-changing messages from over 500 testimonials and those who have crossed over to the other side and returned to their earthly life to enlighten humanity, dissipating the fear of death so we may truly live. In this part two, we discuss the magnificent manual for mankind, the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita posits the existence of an individual self and the higher God self, Krishna, in every being. We ask how the Gita describes yoga, karma, reincarnation, and the principles of equality. Douglas!
Okay.
It's fantastic to have you back on the Great Awakening Show.
And it's delightful to be back, Yogini Joanne. I've been looking forward to this the whole week.
Yeah, me too. Part two of your in-depth divine wisdom on the Bhagavad Gita. And last time, it really touched my soul. And Douglas, you always blow me away. You blow my mind with just these deep, beautiful, you know, wise words that you have, you know, your research is just fantastic. So thank you for everything you do and for sharing it with the world.
I'm so happy to do so, Yogini Joanne, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to do so.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Wow. And on that, we will get into the beautiful questions and you just take it away because honestly, it's just amazing. So the first question we've got, which is after my own heart, because I'm a yogini and I've been practicing yoga for 25 years now and Kundalini, what is yoga according to the Bhagavad Gita? What is yoga and its spiritual significance?
Well, according to the Gita, yoga is the discipline or restraint of the mind, the senses, and the intellect.
Douglas,
In the West,
Douglas, sorry, can I just stop you? Can you just go a little bit? That's it. Back.
Yes.
I'll just edit this a little bit because,
oh, I'm
and just
sorry.
bring the camera just a little bit down so we can see the whole of your face.
Like this?
No, the other way. The other way.
No, the other way.
There. A little bit up.
There?
Yep. There. Perfect.
Perfect.
I'll ask
Perfect.
you the question again and then I'll edit it because, you know.
All right.
Okay. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Douglas, what is yoga? Because this is after my own heart. I'm a yogini. What is yoga according to the Bhagavad Gita and its spiritual significance?
But yoga is essentially the restraint or discipline of the mind, the senses, and the intellect. Now, in the West, yoga tends to be superficially associated primarily with the body. How do we make our body more supple or flexible? And how do we facilitate the flow of energy between the body's chakras? But in the East, yoga transcends physical matter. to also include a mental and spiritual focus. Now, according to chapter 18, verse 52 of the Gita, we are enjoined to absorb ourselves in meditation yoga. And you would be very familiar with meditation yoga. Because when the mind is controlled and the thoughts are stilled, the heart is purified. That is chapter 2, verse 53, chapter 6, verse 12. Now, to define yoga in somewhat more depth, it means to yoke, to control, to restrain, to discipline. 239. And the Gita uses the term yukta. Yukta is one who is yoked or controlled. And a yukta has attained equanimity and thus sees everything the same. Chapter 2, verse 48. Now, in a few minutes' time, I'll go into more in-depth as to what the term equanimity means. But essentially, yoga is a renunciation of all desire and all cravings. And according to the Gita, at all times we should try to be yoked in yoga, to be in communion with and in devotion to God. 827, 647. These are the references to the Gita passages. So the yukta, the yoked one, is united with the divine and is indifferent to every desire. Yoked to Om or to Brahma or to God through yoga, the yukta attains immortal bliss. 521. And I read an anthology of the world's religions the other day, and it described yoga beautifully in this fashion. It said, yoga essentially attunes or aligns the individual soul, or the self, or the Atman, with the undifferentiated collective universal consciousness. And that, Yogini Joanne, is an overview of how the Gita describes or defines yoga and its significance for us.
Beautiful. And for me, that alignment is the yoga union for our soul consciousness and, yes, as you said, universal God, goddess consciousness coming together as that
Precisely.
oneness, isn't it?
Precisely.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what does the Bhagavad Gita have to say concerning the principle of equality? That's what you as, yeah? Equanimity.
Yes, the principle of equality emerges very strongly in the Gita. And as a human rights lawyer, I taught human rights at university level for about 3 decades. So I'm very familiar with the secular notion of equality and non-discrimination. And in fact, it's recognized by the United Nations in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948. But I was amazed to find this principle of equality in the Gita, going back nearly 3,000 years. And I'm excited to share it with you and your listeners, what the Gita has to say about equality. So if you look at chapter or canto 5, verse 18, it says, we must treat all living sentient beings, human and non-human, alike, as they are all equal. The wise perceive as equal all living things. Now, the Gita goes beyond the Universal Declaration because it recognizes this principle of equality to non-human living sentient beings. And that's been recognized in Buddhism and Jainism for some 2,500 years. If you look at chapter 9, verse 29, it says, all living beings are the same to Om, or to Brahma, or to God. The one absorbed in yoga, as I said, the yukta, sees everywhere and everything the same. Therefore, be alike to all beings. That's chapter 6 and chapter 18. To the yukta, to the yoked one, a clod of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold are regarded as the same. 14:24-6:8. Therefore, we should be equal-minded to a saint and a sinner, friend and enemy.
So true.
Now, if I can digress here and bring in other religions to reinforce the Gita, because it is the truth in my humble view.
Yes.
As the Buddha said, rain your kindness equally upon all, as rain falls equally on the just and the unjust. Do not burden your heart with judgments. And as the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 44, beautifully says, love your enemies as God makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the just, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So all sentient beings are interconnected, created by God, and comprise God's consciousness and energy. Thus, no soul is greater than or less than any other soul. And of course, not only humans have souls, not non-human, the animal kingdom, they have souls or consciousness. And if I can digress once again and point out my considerable research into the near-death experience and the messaging of the NDEers corroborates this point, that no soul is greater than or less than any other soul. And I think all of us would do well to remember that. So,
yes.
Yogini Joanne, that is what the Gita has to say.
Yes.
The principle of equality.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm going to put my, sorry, I'll edit this bit out. Sorry, I didn't turn on the. So, Douglas, I just wanted to go into that, what you said, because it's so profound. So we all have the same soul consciousness, that same divine flame that can, you know, we're always in the spiritual heavenly realms, our soul. And you know, it's a part of it, a part of that oneness, that's that consciousness, that universal God consciousness is separated out as us, the soul consciousness within this physical body to experience this duality. So, and as you said, it was amazing that you said all living beings are the same because we all have the same soul consciousness. There's only one shared by all. Yeah. And, you know, when we realize that we can't harm another because we'll be harming ourselves because we are, there's only one story, one creator. But it was amazing what you said about a rock and a piece of gold. And because for me, even a rock has some sort of consciousness to it. Maybe light, it can differentiate between light and day. But when a bird comes to that rock, and that rock shields that bird, and that bird has all of them It shields all the babies of that. Then that consciousness of that rock will elevate, yeah? Because everything is elevating, And the rock, what has that been? It's been dust. Our bodies go into the dust. Our soul goes up to heaven in the heavenly realms, but our body goes back into the dust of the earth to be transformed and remade, recreated into all living things. So we are all connected. We're made from the dust of the earth and from the dust of the cosmos, are we not?
Absolutely. You made a very important point, Yogini Joanne, that when we harm others, other human beings or animals, we hurt ourselves for the very reason you stated. And even rocks are claimed to have spirit or consciousness. Look at the tenets of animism. Look at Shintoism in Japan. Look at the beliefs of the indigenous peoples of the world. That would back up what you've just said.
Yes, they have their spiritual mountains, their spiritual rock, rock, Ayers rock,
Exactly.
to the
Exactly.
Aborigines.
Yes. It is alive. It is spiritually alive.
Yes, that's right. And it evolves. It evolves. Everything is evolving. We can never stop evolving. It's a continuous evolvement, even when we pass over. We're going on to higher forms of celestial, unbelievable realms in the multidimensional world universe. It's just.
Exactly. Nothing stays the same. It's a universal law. It's constant change. It's an evolving fluid situation. It's an evolution.
Absolutely brilliant. That is just so beautiful. Yes. Yes. And what in as the from the Bhagavad Gita, what are the dualities and how do we effect liberation from them? This is what we're all doing,
Well,
isn't it?
this will give me an opportunity to penetrate more deeply the meaning of equanimity. Dualities are essentially opposites which come and go. They are transient and passing by nature. And interesting, I was reading a few of the scriptures from the ancient Indian religion of Jainism today. And I found references, multiple references to this notion of dualities. So it's common both to Hinduism and Jainism. The soul is freed from bondage when it detaches from and transcends duality. 5.3.4.22. Duality, desire, and aversion seduces the soul into ignorance and delusion. Chapter 7, verses 27 and 28, in case any of your readers want to chase up these references. A yogi or a yogini is emancipated from the duality of attraction and revulsion. Chapter 2, verse 64. So, what are the implications of that? Well, the Gita tells us that we must be equal-minded to pleasure and pain, to attraction and desire, and aversion and repulsion. Endure them all as they are evanescent. They come and they go. Chapter 2, verse 14. And if I may once again digress and draw upon my knowledge of other religions, which corroborates this point on dualities, no pleasure is without pain. Roses have thorns. Bees produce honey, yet sting. The indulgence of our passions brings no pleasure of long duration or impresses any good sentiment on the heart. Now, these words come from Zoroastrianism, an ancient Persian religion going back 3,000 years. This was the vision of Arda Virath, a Zoroastrian prophet, which sums up the duality notion very well. So, we must be even-minded to desired and unwanted happenings. We must be indifferent to praise and blame, honor and disgrace. If I can borrow from the Buddhist Dhammapada, as a solid rock is unshaken by the wind, so are the wise, unshaken by praise or blame. So we must be alike with friend and enemy, saint and sinner, the same in joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, success and failure, gain and loss. So do not be elated with, do not be too elated with the agreeable or too dejected at the unpleasant. Be unmoved by success and failure. That is difficult to do for us as humans, but that's what Gita calls us to do, to have that balance, that composure, that equanimity. Attraction and revulsion towards the objects of sensuality are inexorable in this earthly realm, but they are the enemies of the soul and must therefore be avoided. 334. The dualities all pass, so we must endure them and be even-minded and dispassionate towards them. Accept the dualities in your life and rise above them. It has been said that acceptance is the key to heaven. So do not become too elated or too dejected, but accept everything with what I've termed as a detached equanimity, a sense of even-minded tranquility or composure. Be equable and dispassionate in facing all dualities that come into our life. Chapters 4 and 18. Chapter 6, verse 32 says that the highest yogi or yogini sees everywhere and everything the same. As you pointed out truthfully and correctly, Yogini Joanne, we are all an interconnected unity or oneness with each other and with God. Now, if I can digress and pull in a bit of my NDE research, which is bang on, it's spot on with everything that the Gita reveals to us. And one of the NDE authors said this: victory or defeat, worldly success or otherwise, it is all the same. For when we transition beyond this earthly realm, the only thing that really matters is how we treated other sentient beings. And this, Yogini Joanne, is my summary of what the Gita teaches us about the dualities and how we rise above them.
Absolutely beautiful. And that brings to mind, firstly, to see the good or God in everything. Because if there is only one creator, then this one creator created the good and created the evil. Yeah, there is no Satan. You know, Satan is just a made up thing by religions. And, you know, So to me, Satan, sin is the ego, is the negative, destructive, self-sabotaging thoughts, feelings, and actions that a human does, because we have the free will of God, Goddess within to express the evil or express the good. So for us to see that, to see the good, the God in everything, even in the bad, is such a masterful way to live your life. And also, what that's telling me is to live the middle path, the middle way, the middle way. This is what yoga teaches us. So when things come in, you don't go so high. And if you don't go so high, you're not going to go so low. To keep that middle path, that way. And that's what we have to learn, because we come from the oneness into this duality, this separation. And we're always trying to find that oneness, that wholeness between masculine and feminine that we have within, between our light and our dark that we have within, between the good and the bad, all these different dualities. It's the midpoint is the balance. That's what we're seeking. Because we'll always be drawn
Absolutely.
into the darkness. That's part of us. But if we can integrate that darkness into us as much as our lightness, that's true balance.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, you said that beautifully, Yogini Chuan. It's the Buddhist even keel, if I can put it that way. And once again, as you were speaking, I recalled another observation of an NDEer that said that within every soul, there is light and darkness. There is positive and negative energy. And we are given free will by God, a precious gift by God, to make decisions. To either draw upon that positive energy, or if we choose to draw upon the dark or negative energy. This is what the earthly realm is all about. But perhaps we can talk about free will again in some future program.
Wow, absolutely beautiful, really. And these next ones are really, I just can't wait. So, what, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is karma and karma's spiritual significance?
Well, if I can borrow from a biblical metaphor, what we sow is what we reap. And that is common to many mainstream religions of the world. A wise person once said, that the measure of one's day is not how much we have harvested, but by how many seeds we have planted. This is the essence of karma. It is not a system of reward or punishment. It is not a system of retributive justice. It is what it is. It is a universal law, which essentially returns to us whatever energy, positive or negative, we have put out there into the universe. And when you think about it, its operation is eminently and inherently fair and just. Again, if I can draw upon my NDE research, many of the near-death experiencers claimed that after their experience, they knew that karma is a universal law. It is a certain fact. So actions performed during an earthly incarnation condition what a person will be in the next life or incarnation. One becomes virtuous according to the Gita by righteous deeds. One becomes bad by ignorant actions. And the endless cycle of death and rebirth can be set aside by the cessation of desire. Now, the Gita talks about karmic fruit, and it describes three types of karmic fruit: pleasant, unpleasant, and mixed. And it says in chapter 18, verse 12, upon renouncing karmic fruit and offering it up as a sacrifice to God, or Om, or Brahma, all karma dissolves, and peace and liberation of the soul follow. This is chapters 12, 3, and 4. So by performing karma without attachment, the soul consciousness attains profound peace and the supreme condition. Chapters 3 and 5. According to chapter 3, verse 9, all karma binds this world to rebirth, except for that karma done as an offering to Om.
Wow. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yes. Well, let me delve into the three types of karmic fruit: pleasant, unpleasant, and mixed. And I must issue a liability disclaimer here, Yogini Joanne, because this is my intuition as to the meaning. I'm no expert on the Gita, but by pleasant karma, I interpret that to mean you are kind to someone, to another human or an animal, and you have a pure motive. You don't expect anything in return. It's altruistic charity or giving. Unpleasant karmic fruit, which will come back to you, is if you do harm or an unkindness to another sentient being. Mixed karma, I can give you this example. If you are kind to another person, but you have an ulterior motive, you expect something in return. It's not a pure gift. You want the other person to return the favor eventually. But according to the Gita, whatever karmic fruit we do, particularly if it's pleasant or mixed, if you offer it up to Om, if you give charity or charitable service, and you say to Om, I am offering this to you, Om, as my daily offering for my love of you and for my love of humanity. That will burn off your karma. That's my interpretation of it.
And also, do you think that just the realization of something that you have said or thought, and then that was of a negative towards another, yeah, and you realize this, yeah, and you then say, I'm sorry for this feeling, this emotion towards a negative thought, I take it back, I'm sorry. You ask God to take that back. You offer that up as your, you know, plea, you know, please take that back. You know, does that then take away that karma of that as well? I feel that it does, because you've immediately, you know, recognized what you said and what you felt and what you did.
I believe it would, Yogini Choan. It's a form of self-reflection, even repentance and atonement.
Regulation,
you realize you're acting unskillfully, and you offer that up to Om. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sure that would burn off some of the karma.
Yes.
And even when you're angry with another person, they've provoked you, and you really want to punch them or yell at them, but you grit your teeth and restrain yourself. You go outside and walk around the block and cool off. That is an example of supreme self-restraint that can be offered up to Om.
Yes.
And that will accrue heavenly blessings for you.
Yes. Beautiful.
Now, the ignorant, by that I mean those without divine knowledge, perform karma with desire and attachment and egotistical motives. And the Gita says in chapters 3 and 5, these people with these motives, they are therefore bound to reincarnate. They will not break the samsara cycle. So what should we do then? Therefore, the Gita urges us to manifest kindness and provide charity without expecting any reward or acknowledgement. And many religions say that. That is chapter 17, verses 11 and 12. Do not give kindness in order to reap karmic fruit or benefits. You have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
You're not expecting anything in return from the universe. That should not become your motive, according to chapter 2, verse 47. Attachment to such fruit must be renounced. Hypocritical, grudging, or self-serving charity, if indeed it can be called that, is inferior. So through renunciation, through what the Hindus call sannyasa, the yogi or the yogini or the sannyasin severs all ties with society and transcends the fruits of karma, attaining final liberation and enlightenment. Chapter 8, verse 28. But karma follows non-relinquishers into the next incarnation. 18:12. Therefore, hunger and thirst for wisdom, as all karma culminates therein. Detach from desire-driven and egotistical-driven karma. 18:24. So, knowing the divine law, one must do righteous deeds unattached to their karmic fruits. 16:24. One's duty is to serve and work for God, work for Brahma. This is called Brahma Karma in chapter 4, verse 24. And As chapter 4, verse 33 beautifully says, all karma culminates in wisdom. There are two worldly paths that each of us can pursue. That of the light of wisdom, of positive energy and righteousness. And the other path is that of evil, ignorance, negative energy and darkness. We have the free will to choose. But the Gita tells us that the former leads ultimately to our liberation from rebirth, the latter to a perpetual and unending cycle of rebirths. Chapter 8, verse 26. And that, Yogini Joanne, is what the Gita tells me about karma and its significance.
That is so true. And what did Jesus say? Give and it shall be given unto you. And giving is receiving, because giving automatically triggers the universal law of receiving. But as the Gita said, if we give wanting something in return, then no one benefits. Even the person who's being, no one benefits. It has to be a selfless giving done unto the service of humanity and the service to Brahmins, the service to God. And then all shall benefit, you know. And that's why
absolutely,
it is so important for us to be the master of our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, and to make every thought, feeling, word, and action a sacred one. Then you...
Thank you, Yogini Joanne. If I can follow up on one of the pearls of wisdom you've just articulated. I've spoken to many light workers over the past year or so, and many of them have told me that there is a universal law that when we give of ourselves, the universe returns it to us manifold, many times over. And you can find that in the sacred scriptures, even in the Holy Quran. It says that your kindness will be returned to you with interest or compounded interest, or words to that effect.
That is beautiful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you know, you just said something there What do we have if we don't have, the resources to give, money to give, abundance to give? Then we give of ourselves. We give of our true divine nature from our heart. We become authentic and we give another that which is the most precious part. The precious thing you could ever give is of your true authentic self. Give to them and then be a deep listener to listen to their true authentic self. That's beautiful.
It's remarkable because you've used the expression authentic self, and that has been my buzzword for the last week, how important it is for us to be our authentic selves. And even if we don't have the means to give charity, even if we smile at another human being or send thoughts of loving kindness to them, even if that's all that we can do, do it.
Powerful.
Because the universe will return that to us. Many, many times over.
Definitely. Beautiful. Oh, yes, that is just so profound. Everyone, they should have the Bhagavad Gita in every school on earth. I'm sure they do in India.
Well, it's something that we as Westerners, we don't really. Not many of us know about the Bhagavad Gita. In my experience reading it, Yogini Joanna, is every time I read through it, a deeper understanding comes to me. My understanding is a humble, superficial understanding of the Gita, but I hope it is of some assistance to your listeners. But I will keep reading it again and again and again, as I do all sacred scripture.
Yes.
And if you see things with the divine eye, the wisdom's eye, this divine knowledge, this enlightenment will open up to you in your
Yes.
consciousness.
That is so true. And this is what we're all here for, is to have this self-realization, this enlightenment, let the light of God in to have that oneness with the Creator. Our soul consciousness with God consciousness. It's the ultimate. And every single one of us, this is the whole reason for life on earth, is it not?
And this is why your program, your show is so important. What you are doing on your show, it's awakening and elevating human consciousness.
Yes.
And although we may perceive in the world so many dark forces and negative energy, do not be beguiled by this, because consciousness is rising in the world.
Yes.
Many light workers recognize that, and it's happening.
It is. And also, I just want to say there are more beautiful, wonderful things happening in the world, millions more every day than bad things. It's just that, the dark forces just only make us watch their television and their what they want us to see, which is all negative and dark.
Absolutely. The legacy media peddles negative energy, and unfortunate events. It's rather depressing watching the mainstream news media. But I've often wondered that someone should create HNN, Happy News Network.
It's so it shall be. I'm telling you, this is the great awakening. And maybe in 10, 20 years' time, all of these networks, all these systems shall dissolve and pass away. As I keep saying, evil has within it, darkness has within it, the seed of its own self-destruction. And the light shall come, and there will be wonderful, wonderful, TV, because TV is such a wonderful media, and they will show the beauty on the earth.
Amen, Yogini Joanna. It's already happening in the USA.
Yes, exactly. It's wonderful. For sure. The golden age. This is the beginning of the golden age. And what happens in America shall go through the whole world because it's the new Atlantis. Yeah.
Well, before the dawn, there is darkness.
Yes.
Darkness precedes the light. So
That's correct.
we are emerging into the light.
Yes. Oh, Douglas, I just want to say once again, thank you for your divine wisdom and your deep research in these beautiful, I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is just an incredible manual for mankind. And thank you for sharing that with us. It's so important.
It was my absolute pleasure to do so once again, Yogini Joanne. Thank you so much for having me on your program again. I've so enjoyed our conversation, and I hope your listeners have gained a little bit of divine wisdom and spiritual knowledge.